Kitty?
Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
To the show. My name is Christine Wyke. I am filling in for Phil Armstrong today, and I thank him for the opportunity. Today we are going through Chapter 5 of Revelation, a verse-by-verse explanation of it. I hope to make it clear in a simple way, something that I see as a literal interpretation of God's Word. And we will look today at the study of the large scroll and its meaning for us and its meaning and its relevance for today. Going into Revelation chapter 5, in order to understand the meaning of the scroll, two things must first be considered. One is the purpose of what a scroll is, and the other is why is the scroll so important in Revelation and what does it represent? In ancient times, books were not invented. So large writings or any type of writing was done on sheets of animal skins or papyrus, which was a plant reed. If the writing was quite lengthy, the pieces were sewn together to make a long roll. Now, kind of describing here how a scroll was written, to prevent an unrolling of a scroll, like it's a Christmas paper, on a wrapping, when you're wrapping up a Christmas present, the Christmas paper on a roll, to keep it from, let's say, rolling off a table, drops of wax were placed on the outside of the scroll on the seam to prevent it from unrolling when it was dropped. It was also placed, or drops were also placed, on the inside of the scroll in certain sections, such as chapters, so that the remainder of the scroll would not unroll as more writing was being done upon the scroll. Kind of difficult to explain this in a visual context by using words when, of course, if I had a view here, I could show you how a roll was done. But you just take into consideration, just roll up a piece of paper, a long roll of paper, and that's kind of how a scroll was. Now, in legal matters, a seal, or this was the puddle of wax, the seal was not broken until someone was authorized to unroll the scroll. Wax would be imprinted with a mark, usually from a ring worn on the ring of finger or on a finger of an officer of a court, by pushing down on the wax puddle when it was still warm. This would make the mark similar to our raised seal today on important documents such as birth certificates. So the idea is actually still in place. The scroll mentioned in Revelation is like a legal document. We could refer to it as a title or a deed to a property. A person who was selling a piece of property would write down the description of it, roll up a scroll, seal the edge, and on the outside write down the price or the type of payment that was required to possess the property being sold. Now, once a buyer is found, he would then be required to pay what was agreed upon that was written on the outside of the scroll. Once that agreed upon amount was paid, the new owner of the property would then take the scroll, and he could then break it, and he would then be the owner of it. This system is still in place today, much like our own buying and selling of our homes, where the title is required to prove the owner. Revelation 5, 1 through 4. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. Now, the person that is sitting on the throne here is God himself. That is described in the beginning of Revelation. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is able to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. The scroll that John sees here in the hand of God is a very large one. It contains seven seals to keep it together. In addition, there are terms for payment that must be agreed upon because writing is seen on the outside of the scroll. Now, the scroll being in the hand of God, I feel, shows that it's very important to God, and it's very important, obviously, to everybody in attendance in heaven, which would be the creatures, the 24 elders, and so on. So this is a scroll so important that everybody would be affected by it. I'm going to show you what the scroll is, and it's proof based on scripture throughout the rest of the Bible. The scroll is the deed to the earth. Starting in Genesis, when God creates the earth, he has sole ownership of the earth and all of its inhabitants. We see this in Genesis 1, verse 28. God transfers the ownership here in verse 28 of Genesis to Adam. He tells Adam that he has control now, that Adam has the control of the earth and to subdue it. But there was one condition that needed to be met in order for Adam to maintain control or to keep control. And God instructed both, Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. Now in Genesis chapter 3, Satan seduces Eve to disobey God. She does violate the agreement, both her and Adam together. And that is the reason why Satan needed to seduce Eve. Satan needed to start the breaking of the rule of the contract. Satan knew the importance of the deed. He did. Adam and Eve maybe really didn't, and that's why it was probably the command to not eat of the tree was, we don't know. Maybe it was taken rather lightly. They didn't understand the true meaning of having to not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. Once Adam loses control of the earth, Satan now possesses it. Man is no longer in dominion over the earth and its creatures. Get a cat. Have you ever tried to tell it what to do? It has a mind of its own. Man can't even control nature, Mother Nature. So many examples I could give you as to how man does not have dominion over the earth and over nature anymore. Now, although God does have final say in all matters, Satan has a very strong hold on the Lord's creation. It almost seems that the devil stole the deed to the earth and is now holding it for ransom. There are many verses throughout the Bible that use this same wording, use this same idea, that the world is held for ransom. Is there then a payment required in order for the scroll to be given back to the rightful owner, which would be God? We have a glimpse of how much Satan controls the earth by the story in Luke 4. Here we read of the temptation of Jesus in the desert. The devil takes Jesus to a very high place and shows him the entire world, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. If Jesus would just worship him, and the devil would give him all of the world. This, I believe, is the verse that clearly shows that Satan owns all the world at this point. This is mentioned by Satan in verse 6 and 7 of Luke 4. Quote, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. And I give it, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. That, to me, Satan's words teach us that Satan has control of the earth and all that it goes on before Christ is crucified on the cross. In Luke 4, I believe that is the clue that Satan has dominion. Revelation 5, verse 4, I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. Well, why is John upset? I mean, he is very upset. The Bible describes is that he has an uncontrollable sorrow. Just wept and wept, could not be consoled. But why would John cry about a scroll that couldn't be opened? And I believe John is very aware of the devil's hold on the soul of mankind. And as long as Satan possesses the deed, or Christ is not, or God is not able to open the scroll, men on earth are doomed to destruction. John understood what Adam did not understand. John did understand. Revelation 5, 5 through 8. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Stop your crying. See that the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Look, the angel says, or I would, one of the elders. This is one of the 24 elders. Look, John, don't cry. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And notice now the difference that the different characteristic here that Jesus is given here in heaven. Before in Revelation 1, he is given the image of somebody truly like God, clothed in white, bronze, iron with the legs, his face shining like the sun. But here it's different. Jesus is shown here as a lamb, but a lamb that was slain. This is the death of Christ on the cross. This is what paid the price that was written on the outside of the scroll. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The payment was made. John, stop your crying. The payment is made. The scroll can be opened. The debt that was written on the outside of it was paid by something. And when Christ rose from the dead, death and hell were conquered. The scroll now goes back to God. And this is what I believe the devil didn't bargain on. Kind of, now this is my own feeling on this, my own idea. Take into consideration that before Christ's death on the cross, the devil owned the scroll. It was in his possession. If the devil had such authority to own all of the earth, he goes to God and says, you know what? okay, you created the earth. You can have your product back. You can have your item that you think of such great worth back. But I want you to give me your firstborn. I want you to give me Jesus. I want you to let me have him in hell. Give him to me, and I can put him to death on the cross. Forsake him for a day, or forsake him, and you can have the deed back. And that's exactly what God does. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when Christ died on that cross, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ knew that the debt had to be paid, and he was the payment. But I don't think what the devil counted on was God would get him back out of hell. God still is greater than Satan. And don't know if that is the reason why Satan is quite angry today, because God did get his son back, raised him from the dead. Revelation 5, verses 9 through 10. They sang a new song. Now all of heaven worships the Lamb for what he has done. It is salvation. Obviously, it's not salvation for the people in heaven. They are safe there. It is salvation for those on the earth. And this is what makes it kind of neat, that the angels in heaven celebrate us when we are saved upon the earth. The two glorious in hand, we are cared about by those citizens in heaven, probably because we will add to their number when we die. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. In your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You have come to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Jesus now has the right to take over what happens on the earth with the death on the cross. He has paid the price that was written on the outside of the scroll. The property that was purchased, along with control of the earth, were the souls of those who choose to follow him. These purchased believers will reign in the end with him during the new millennium. And we will study this as we get towards the end of Revelation. Revelation 5, verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, they circled the throne, the living creatures, and the elders. Can you imagine the sound? And I don't believe these are angels that are just mumbling. These are angels that are shouting. These are praise at the top of their lungs. Can you imagine the sound? It's almost like being at a Super Bowl game, when you have the crowd all into the game and a touchdown occurs, and you know, give the benefit of the doubt, half of the crowd goes up in a roar and a shout. If you've never been there, the sound is deafening. Or if you're at a concert and the encore is called for, when the audience wants the performers to come back, and the shout goes up. And, I mean, you are talking, thousands of people. But here in Revelation, thousands upon 10,000s upon 10,000 times 10,000, millions shout. Imagine the sound. I can just imagine a vibration just underneath your feet with the praise that comes from this. Revelation 5, starting at verse 12. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, glory, honor forever and ever." Okay, now add to the noise every living creature. Ever hear the roar of a lion? Did you ever hear the trumpet call of an elephant? Add to that the noise now, in addition to the shouting of a million angels. Now you hear the sound of a million animals. And it's all a part of the sacrifice that was made. And it's on now, at this point, when Christ is about ready to open the seals. The end is coming. The beginning of the end is coming. And this is where the prayers of the saints come through. Lord, please come quickly. And creation reflects that also. They are also aware. You know, we may not know it, but obviously creation is aware of their creator. Man probably tends to diffuse that fact. They don't believe God created the earth, but the creatures know they were created by God, and they praise. From the cricket all the way up to, yeah, probably the sound of a whale, or all the way up to the sound of the roar of a lion. And I can't imagine the sound that is before God. We have a little bit of time left. Actually, we can start opening up the seals. This is the next chapter. It starts with Revelation chapter 6. We just described the scroll and its reference to the seals. Now the seals are mentioned here, and they are opened up one by one. I honestly believe that the seven seals are spread out through the entire timeline of the tribulation period. You need to understand this in order to understand the book of Revelation. You also need to understand that the opening of the seals has not happened at the recording of this. So as I stand here today, the seals are still closed up. I also do not believe that all the seals happen at the beginning of the tribulation period. They are mixed in with the trumpets. Now, I do believe that the seven bowls of God's wrath are all together poured out at the end. And when we get to that part, I'll explain why I see that. But this is what makes Revelation so difficult to understand. I see so many scholars and so many theologians just take the seven seals and group them all together into one part of Revelation, followed with the seven trumpets, all grouped together in another part of Revelation. And I believe that just, it doesn't make sense that way. It makes Revelation more confusing. If we take the seven seals and actually split them into the four horsemen, and then the last three remaining seals into other things, there's a reason for the split. And there's a reason why I believe the first four seals are the beginning and actually all the way through the end of Revelation. The first four seals are separated from the last three. The first four horses, or the first four seals, will represent the conditions of what is happening upon the earth. Those conditions are directly related to man. I think the best way to put it is explaining the seals and the trumpets, and you can add the seven bowls, in their placement through the tribulation period like this. When you paint a picture, let's say we're going to do a mountain scene. You want four mountains. So imagine an artist taking a blank sheet of canvas and starting with the first mountain creates it, second mountain, third mountain, and fourth mountain, just the outline. Notice all four mountains are spread out from the entire right-hand side or from the left-hand side. They're spread out from one end of the canvas to the other. All the mountains are not grouped in one little corner of the right side or the left side of the canvas. They are started from one end and they continue, the mountain range continues all through the the canvas. Then you have seven trees. So you place seven trees. And let's say they're large pine trees. So you place seven large pine trees. I mean, you could all group them in one corner. But I believe the artist takes them and places them from starting at the left edge of the canvas, puts one tree, puts another tree, puts another tree, and so on. Oh, and then you have the last three mountains. Well, maybe the last three go in the background. So they kind of start over again, and where the mountain range is a continuation. So you would start in the background, and you put the sixth mountain, the seventh mountain, and the five, sixth, and seventh mountain towards the back. Again, you kind of start at the beginning of the canvas. Can you kind of see now, this is how revelation is done. You do not have all things grouped together in one area. They are spread out over the entire canvas, over the entire seven-year canvas of revelation or of time, 7 years of time. We know this as 7 years being the clue given to us in Daniel. I believe that the beginning of the 7 years is started with a treaty or a alliance that's signed by the Antichrist. That's the first thing to look for. And as we open up the first seal, we see that it's opened up by the coming out. I understand it as the Antichrist. Now let's go to that, the first seal. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Notice how the Lamb opens it. Because he has the right. He has paid the price. So he has the right to do so. I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice, like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. He rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Whenever the four living creatures speak, it doesn't say which one. It does state that one of them, so this could have been the ox, don't know. But one of them speaks to John and says, "Come on, come up here and look what happens when this first seal is opened. I acted here as creation, so this is what happens upon the earth." A rider on a white horse is the Antichrist or the government under him. Please do not confuse this with Christ riding on the white horse in the end. This is different. And I don't think we're going to get into it all today. We will finish this up next time. But this is a different rider, just based on the description of him. But riding out on a white horse means something. It is a form of conquering. This is a form of unstoppable power, of a condition upon the earth where it's the rise of an idea that just goes forward and there's nothing stopping it. And this is the Antichrist. Now notice the white horse indicates great authority, but notice also that the rider has a bow but no arrows. He will do this with authority, but it be with peace. Probably with treaties and alliances, the Antichrist gets what he wants by using diplomacy and his position of authority, which is given to him. The Bible does not say from whom. So it is possible that he gets voted in to get this authority. He does not get his crown by taking it with force. But once he has the power, he moves very quickly to get what he wants. There will be a time of peace on the earth. Now pay attention to this, because in the next horse, we see the peace is taken away. So there will be a time of peace at the beginning of the tribulation period. And this is where we will pick up next week at the same time. We are going to start as to what exactly is the first seal containing for us. My name again is Christine Weick. Thank you, Phil, for letting me fill in. You can reach me at www.explainthis.us or give me a call toll-free at 1-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888 653-9752.